Hello and welcome to the UK First and 10 Dallas Cowboys podcast. The title of this entire year is 2020. And with the result of the last game and what we've been saying throughout the season, this is very fucking 2020. In the worst league, with one of the worst teams, with one of the worst bits of luck, throughout this season, we won a game that meant we could still make the playoffs.
How about them Cowboys?
Hey! What a Christmas present!
I mean, is it a Christmas present or is it just going to fuck up next?
To be fair, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you wanted to tank. It doesn't matter if you wanted to win the playoffs. We have to beat the fucking Eagles.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, that's what I mean. We have to be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you want us to lose to for draft picks or if you want us to beat the playoffs. If you want us to lose for draft picks, we still have to beat the fucking Eagles. It just has to be done.
That's a fact. Right. And in the most 2020 of ways, we've spent this week going, fuck the Eagles, we hate the Eagles, yes, we beat the Eagles,
and next week
we're going to be going, come on, Eagles! Everyone loved you, you fucking beautiful bastards!
You're going to be screaming, fly, Eagles, fly, before the end of the day.
Against a team who... Even if the Eagles try to tank, they're going to struggle because the Eagles have a quarterback.
Yeah, he's good.
So it's like the Eagles will probably try and tank, but even if they try and tank, there's a chance that they'll still win and then we'll go through. Like, if 2020 wanted to like just be any more 2020, I don't think it could. I don't think it could.
It could, because we'll probably end up going up against all the rest of our division, beating them and going to the Super Bowl and winning, because that's 2020, and an unbeaten and a team that have a losing record will go into the Super Bowl and win it. I'm not saying,
guess what else, guys? If everything stays status quo, we will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and how wonderful would it be to beat Tom Brady with the dipshit Cowboys team?
Oh, that'd be good.
I mean, if we manage to win the division, play the Bucs, even not beat them, even just not make Tom Brady look amazing, I will be this. I'm happy.
No, it'd be so amazing, because all the Bucs Patriots fans, because they're interchangeable, will be there crying, going, but a losing team shouldn't be allowed into the playoffs, even if they did win the division.
And then do you know what we can say?
You didn't even win your division.
No, Tom Brady never beats the NFC East postseason.
He does not
beat the NFC East postseason. He can't beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. He can't beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. How delicious would it be for us being this shit to take him out in the first round of the playoffs? Oh,
that would be just like winning the Super Bowl for 2020.
I'll be honest. I mean, I might as well break up with my girlfriend because I'll never need to orgasm again. I'll have reached the peak. That's me on a level, boys. Thank you very much. But we are jumping way ahead, lads.
Way ahead.
We can talk about this next week and hopefully the week after. But for this week, let's say we played the Eagles. We didn't concede 30 plus points.
We gave them 30 plus points. We won that game 37-17.
Yeah. We dare I say it, we looked all right.
Right. Our defense.
The defense looked good.
Our defense in the past three games has been the best. Our defense in the last three games has more takeaways than any other team in the NFL for the last three games. Our defense has been playing crazy good compared to the first eight games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. But it's takeaways, not necessarily the general marking. But we are getting takeaways.
We are still very iffy on the run.
Yeah.
We're still letting 4 or 5 yards go at a time. So with this game, we started. I was watching this, and I was like, the first run that Philadelphia had, the very first start with the ball, and they systematically just went up that field, tearing us apart and scoring, and it was like, okay, let's see what we can do, and. And I hate it when the commentators do this. The commentators are like, right, this, you know, let's see. The Cowboys look like they're actually going to score a touchdown on their opening drive for the very first time this season. Lo and behold, no, we don't.
No, we don't.
But we've kicked the most field goals on opening drives out of any NFL team. Did you hear that, Dad?
That doesn't win you that many games.
Shows are losing record.
Yeah, but so I was kind of like, all right, fair enough. We didn't look too bad to start with, but then oh god, that DeSean Jackson touchdown. We basically, I think it was the first play, maybe then the second play, of the Eagles' next drive, and we were playing a cover three. Our safety, Donovan Wilson, decided to take the wrong guy and basically left Chidobe Awuzie, who was playing sort of outside leverage anyway, so he needed the help, just on his own with DeSean Jackson, who's still ridiculously fast. And that was it. That was it. It was a gimme. It was a gimme. As soon as Hurts, any quarterback, as soon as saw that safety bite and onto Zach Hurts, then, boom, just throw it to DeSean Jackson. You just got a touchdown, mate.
Throw it to Jackson. Off you go to the races. Yeah.
So it looked decidedly dicey to begin with. I remember sat there just like 14-3.
But you see, we took the 14 points, and then you know what happened? Old General Lee, possible last game ever at the AT&T. He gets up. He gets that defense. He has a pep rally, and then for the rest of the game, we conceded 3 more points.
I wonder what he told him. I wonder if he said, for you guys, after we win this game, I'm going to take you all to the strip club, and you can even keep your face mask on.
I'm going to take you to a strip club that's that bad that you can still smell the girls with your mask on.
So, I'm going to take you to a strip club where if you leave with COVID, you've done well. If you only leave with COVID-19, well done. The last person who went there is currently getting aid. But anyway. Mate, it was nice to see. Let's talk Dalton. Let's talk old Dalty. Dalton had a game.
Dalton's been having Dalton's been having a game since I said Dalton's a good player.
Yeah, you're right. After a couple of weeks, you then were like, no, Dalton, you stuck with Dalton. So what, and you're right, since you said that, he's not been bad.
What's happened is someone in the Cowboys, and Dalton as well, has turned around and gone, you've literally got 1 second to throw the ball. From the snap to actually throwing the ball, and I might say that the offensive line didn't do a bad job at all giving him time. But he basically said, you've got about 1 second to throw the ball, so let's just... We now know that. It's taken us a few games to work that out. Let's scheme around that. And that's what they've done.
Yeah, that is what they've done, for sure. And he's also, I think, realised that if he gets to the playoffs, he gets a cheeky million-pound bonus. So he's like, I can do this.
But the thing is, he's auditioning for a job as well anyway.
Yeah, he is.
This is what I always say about when they say that teams are tanking, and it says a lot because the Jets just won the second one on a bounce. But there's no team that's ever going to tank in the NFL because every player on there is putting tape down.
Yeah.
The owners might want to tank. The coaches may even want to tank. But the players on the field certainly don't because it's their... Yeah. They've only got like about 3 or 4 years, and they're not going to tank because they're always going to put the balls out into it most of the time, unless you're a Cowboys free agent from the start of this season.
One thing I want to point out about Andy Dalton, I'm pretty critical of him, and I feel like, you know, he does, like, what a stupid throw. That was a horrible throw. What an overthrow, I'll say. Or he's holding the ball too long. But one thing I realized, though, he's securing the ball, and he's not going to – he'd rather take a sack than a pick. And, I think more quarterbacks, if they played more conservatively like that, they would probably be doing better. And I think, you know what, for a change, it's a good thing that he's not just throwing the ball up and seeing what happens. And he is, sometimes he does carry too long. He's not as fast as DeSean Jackson. He's not Dak. He's not Mahomes. He's not going to run, you know, super quick. But when he needs to get some yardage, the majority of the time he gets to where he needs to go.
Yeah. And even when he threw that pick, and again, I've not really done this decision. I'm going to come in defense of Darwin. When he threw that pick, I think most people are throwing that pick because it wasn't his fault and it wasn't CeeDee Lamb's fault.
No, it wasn't.
It was just really good defending.
Yeah.
Like, he came out of nowhere and juked them. I don't feel like that should go against Andy on his stats. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those interceptions where it's like, you go, like, that was just great defending, and you threw the ball correctly. Great timing. It was cluttered. You threw a great ball. CeeDee Lamb, you went there to catch it. You were there. You had everything, but nobody saw the third defender. You know, there was two defenders around there. It was the third one that managed to run in the back. Like, it's just one of those things when those things happen. And that was the first time we've thrown an interception this season that I was like, yeah, I'm okay with that.
I was kind of...
It was the first interception again, what, 352 passes or something crazy?
No, it was like about 300. I think it was 200 passes.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It
done
crazy. Yeah,
it done good. But it also, to me, when the interception came, it was kind of like, oh, we managed to stop them on a fourth down. We got the ball back. We threw an interception. All right, let's just say that we didn't stop them on the fourth down. It wasn't really. It didn't really affect us too much, did it? It allowed them to get back into it a little bit, but they didn't anyway.
It helped we were winning at that point anyway, but I mean, even if we'd have been losing at that point, I wouldn't have been upset with that interception. Yeah. It was just one of those things.
I will say on this game that pretty much everyone turned up. I couldn't see anyone sort of dialing it in today.
Yeah.
You know, Zeke was on four.
It was a proper team effort.
Zeke was basically just proving those people that said Pollard had a great game last week, let's ditch Zeke. And Zeke was like, nope, I'll show you why.
Nope.
Right, you know, he had his average carry was like 5.7 yards or something.
He ran for 105 yards on 5.5 yards per carry. Yeah. He also received. He only did 34 yards in the air, but that's because everyone else was getting any yards in the air.
Yeah.
Right.
Gallup was incredible. 121 yards. Amari Cooper, 121 yards.
We've mentioned Gallup all season as having okay games, you know, bit moments, or having quiet games, and it's nice to know that our boy still has some of that flair that he had last season. He looked the best he's looked all season, hands down. And he knew it, and he loved it, and he played great. He looked fantastic, both catching the ball and moving after. He just, yeah.
He made you want to keep him, didn't he? He made you want to pay him the end of this year.
Yeah, it really made you want to pay him. And it was like, he's not been terrible all season, but it was definitely his quietest season so far for us. But then he also, you know... There's a lot of talent out there.
Yeah, and we've got CeeDee Lamb to throw it to as well now.
What I want to bring up, I don't know if we're going to have the cap space to pay him and Dak next year.
Yeah, we will. We'll work it out.
I still think we should trade Gallup. I don't want to. I like him. But with everything we've got, he's still my choice to trade. But if we end up not trading him and keeping him, I'm not going to be unhappy about it.
I don't think... If we've not traded him now, we're not going to. Because he's up now. His contract's up at the end of this year. So if we don't trade him...
Oh, is it the end of this
year?
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that's right.
I thought it was running a little
bit longer. I think he's a restricted free agent at the end of this year.
Do you think that we keep Dalton as backup when Dak comes back, or do you think we let Dalton go?
It'd be a lot more expensive.
I tell you what, do you want to hear my crazy prediction for this?
Yeah.
We let Dalton go, and we pick up Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, well, I was thinking that.
Oh, that's as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, Dwayne Haskins, his problem was he declared too early. He should have waited another season. He needed to get a bit more college experience in him. He's not a bad player, but he wasn't a great player. He didn't deserve to be drafted where he was. He was pretty lucky in that.
Dwayne Haskins played with CeeDee Lamb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, would it, yeah. Would he?
Yeah.
Yeah, would.
Dwayne Haskins, you know, had a bit of pep in that, and he's a good player, but he needed to do what Mahomes did and come and just have, you know, a season, maybe a bit longer than that, maybe a couple seasons,
yeah,
just in the background, learning a bit more. And with Haskins' play style, who better to learn under than Dak fucking Prescott?
Yeah, because
right.
Dwayne Haskins, when he was at Washington, because he's now past tense, He wasn't ready. Ben's right. He wasn't ready for the NFL at all. He was miles off ready for the NFL.
Yeah.
But he was a very good prospect. And the problem is Washington did what the Jets tend to do with players, and they just ruined them by throwing them in straight away. And you ended up sort of spoiling the player by just not giving him a chance. And if you'd have just sat with some dickhead for a year or two, then bring Haskins in, you might have been all right. But, yeah, they ruined him. I agree. Josh Rosen's the same. Josh Rosen would be amazing backup.
Yeah.
And he could even force his way back in.
You guys think that Washington's going to let Dwayne Haskins just go?
Yeah, they've just dropped him.
Literally tonight. 10 hours ago.
Yeah.
And you think we're going to pick him up and release Andy Dalton at the end of the season?
No, he's a free agent now.
I'm not saying we're definitely going to do it, but that's what I'd do.
And he's good because he's a good player.
I think
he's a great backup.
The problem we have is Andy Dalton is on $3 million for this year. And so imagine the $3 million that he was on a failed Bengals team, and now we've just given him and we've just shown him that we really struggle when we've not got Dak, but Dalton's doing a really good job. We're not going to get away with $3 million again.
He's got a three game winning streak under him. If not next week,
he's
four.
He's put enough back on tape in a very pressured offensive line.
Yeah.
To show that he could actually do it, and there's a market for him out there now.
Yeah, no, 100%.
He'll end up on the Vikings.
Let's
will pay him like $31 million a year.
Let's put it this way: the Jaguars, right? They're gonna get Trevor Lawrence, right? Mm-hmm. Who better to start than Andy Dalton with Trevor Lawrence behind him?
Yep. That's a fucking great idea. Andy Dalton and Trevor Lawrence on the same team. I'd like to see it. I think Dalton deserves it, and I think Lawrence wouldn't say no. I haven't. That's a cracking shout. And the thing with Dalton is, Dalton always, you know, we knew he was good at the Bengals. He got a bit of shit. He didn't have an O-line. He played for us. They said, well, at least he'll have an O-line. He's not had an O-line. Yes, he got beaten to begin with, but he has adapted, and he's proven that, you know, with a couple extra receivers, even without an O-line, you know, unlike when he was at the Bengals, he can play. Don't get me wrong. Is Dalton perfect? No. But he is worth... I would pick him over at least four or five other current quarterbacks.
Oh, I'd pick him over Kirk Cousins.
Just four or five.
Well, I mean, I've been honest. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but yeah.
Carson Wentz is garbage. Shoot, Carson Wentz is so garbage they're not even playing him, and they're paying him $31 million.
Yeah, well, he's done.
Yeah, he's done.
He'll move on somewhere. Ben seems to think he's the Jets.
Yeah, I think Wentz will go Jets.
But no one will take that contract on. No one will pay that amount of money for Carson Wentz. He's not got enough in front of him to show that he's worth that amount of money. Who would the only way they'd be able to pull that off is if they did you take him and we'll pay half his salary.
Yeah.
Or do what the Browns did with Brock Osweiler, Was it the Texans? Yeah, it was the Texans and Browns with Brock Osweiler. The Texans had paid him a fortune. It wasn't worth that money, so the Browns said, all right, you give us a pick, and we'll take Brock Osweiler. And so the Browns ended up with a pick and Brock Osweiler, but they had the salary to take him. And I think they dropped him almost straight afterwards.
They did, yeah.
And the Texans were like, cool, we lost that pick, but yeah, we don't have to pay that salary anymore.
No. That's what I was going to suggest. I was going to say, like, if I was the Jets, I would happily take Wentz, but I'd take him with a first round and a fourth round. Do you know what I mean?
We'll take your salary off you.
$31 million they're saving. It's worth the $31 million they're saving.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Jets are getting a better deal out of it. But as the Eagles, you know, HC, I'd do it. I'd do that in a second. I'd be like, yeah, fucking have him. Yeah, I have two picks. Yep. Right, Hurtsy, don't fuck this up, prick. Like, that's where you'd be, innit?
Yeah.
I'll be right back, guys.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, we're gonna lose Rob for a little bit, but
no, we're not. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But the game was exactly what you'd want. It kind of had the ups and downs of a standard Cowboys game. But then it was just for the second half. It was just coaster ride. It was just beautiful. Yep. That defense was on it. I tell you who I like now. I love Gallimore.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle, and we needed one. He just seems as a rookie. He just seems to be. I think we've done well with him. I don't think he's going to ever turn out to be an Aaron Donald superstar, but he's always going to be competent. And I think he's shown that since he's been getting the starts after we had that debacle with those two clowns that we brought in and threw out, Dontari Poe and whatever.
Yeah. And our defense has been infinitely better since.
Oh, Randy Gregory. Can we mention Randy Gregory?
Well, you know he's my favourite person to talk about. I purposely was waiting for one of you to mention him.
He's fast becoming my favourite Cowboys player, simply because of A, his backstory. I love his backstory. But B, he has changed that defence with he's the only one that I see that never really sort of dials down at each play. Like D-Law is sometimes you see him sort of, oh, I'm getting double teamed. I'm not going to put much effort into this because I'm not going to get past them. Whereas Randy Gregory just looks like when he's getting blocked or when he's getting double teamed, he behaves like a child who's about to get put in a high chair.
Yeah, he does.
It's like get in that chair and it's just everywhere and you can't get the damn thing in there.
Looks fantastic. But do you know, and I'm not even going to talk about how good he was. I'm not even going to talk about, as you're saying, about his hunger, about his constant fighting, his willingness to prove time and time again that we should have stuck by him, and he proves it, and he's worth everything. All the drama of the last few years, he's 100% worth it. But none of that is why I'm loving Randy Gregory after this game. Do you know why I'm loving Randy Gregory after this game?
Why?
Go back and watch the game. And every time he's on camera at the end of a play, look at his face. I have never seen somebody more happy to be on the football field. That guy fucking loves it.
He does, but he doesn't.
He loves playing football for the Cowboys. He loves fucking kicking some ass. He just, like, don't get me wrong, you know, he's got all the passion and anger, but every now and then when he's not thinking about a game for a second, his face always turns to a smile. He is having the time of his life, and he's a fucking joy to watch.
I also love at the moment about Gregory, and like I said, this shouldn't take anything away from his play at all, but he's cheap. Mm-hmm. He's very cheap.
Yeah,
because the Joneses did an amazing thing where they were like, right, Randy, you're suspended, you know. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand by you. We're going to extend your contract.
Mm-hmm.
So they extended his contract while he was suspended, which means he has no leverage.
Yes, no.
He's just happy to have an extended contract.
He's happy to be played. He's getting paid. He's not getting paid loads, but he's getting paid to do the thing he loves with the team he loves, yeah. with the team that he said he'd stand by if they stood by him. Yeah. It is, honestly, the Randy Gregory story in 10 years' time will make a fantastic film.
It would.
It will make a fantastic film.
It's one thing I do like about the Joneses. They did it with Jalen Smith, and they've done mm-hmm. it with Randy Gregory, and they kind of... place a bit of investment in the player at times. I know they get a lot of slagging off for sometimes they bring in a lot of criminals, but they do tend to stand by folk. You know, it's like Randy Gregory didn't necessarily need to stand by him. They could have dropped him, but his character they decided to keep. Jalen Smith may have never, ever seen a football field again if it wasn't for his character, and they stood by him and they drafted him in the second round.
Yep,
and they reward that, and then they get the loyalty back as well. That's the thing as well. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know, there's a lot to say about Jerry Jones. Of course, there is, and there always will be. But he does have an eye for a project that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it doesn't work, Jason Garrett. but more often than not. It proves itself on the field. And it is, I mean, consider, and don't get me wrong, right? Now, if anyone's listening to us who's not a Cowboys fan, we sound like the stupid Cowboys fans always do. Oh, we've won a game. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, this season has been shit. We've had a lot of problems. This season is still not going to be, you know, even if we get to the playoffs, fuck it, brilliant. It's a crazy season, but. It's also, like, as much as we say the ups and downs of the Cowboys is the worst thing about supporting them, it's also the best thing about supporting them. And these little stories, these little in and outs, these little bits of these characters coming through, it's why we love the game. And when it happens in your own fucking team, it's even better. And this season, as bad as it's been, has all been about different players' characters and different people coming through. Everything from Dak to Dalton to DiNucci to Gregory coming up to Zach Martin being in, being back, then being out, whether it's a good story or bad story. As much as all the bad shit's happened, this season has been about the characters of the Cowboys. And actually, as much as we've been crying halfway through the season, in a few years, when I look back on this season, I'm going to be like, well, it was a fucking crazy season. But it was still good. You know, we've been entertained the whole time, haven't we? It's been a good season, that side of things. Do you get my point? Am I
being crazy? No, I completely agree. You get used to this as a Cowboys fan. Even sort of the worst throwaway season is an entertaining season. They find a way to just...
Yeah. But
entertaining.
Because the last minute games. But my point is, I think this season has been more entertaining because of the background stories. And I mean, having Ben DiNucci throwing a ball was fucking mental. You know what I mean? Having a defense that couldn't work and then getting rid of a couple of them and then having some old flames come back and having Sean Lee's last season and him just give that international speech in the last game against the Eagles. Like, there's just been so many, like you know when they did nothing on the Cowboys, I wish they'd done it this season. Oh, I'd love to have watched it this season. I think we might have
Rob back.
I'm back.
And he had his radio in the car.
Well, I've got to say, Rob, your signal's not better than ever, mate.
Yeah, it sounds like you're on in the car. And it's bouncing back. You might have to turn something down.
You might have to turn your mic off. It sounds like you're shagging R2-D2.
Where would you put it? Just out of interest.
I feel like it's definitely in a course port at the bottom.
Where would you put it? How much lube would you need to use?
At least 4 parsecs.
That didn't even make sense, but I'm going with it.
No, I know, but the thing is, though, is when they use it, it doesn't make sense because it's a length of distance, not time. So when
they tried
like
to retcon it. They did try to retcon it in something else where it was like, yeah, but I did. It was distance. Yeah, I did it in 12 parsecs because of. Anyway, we're going into a lot more of a bigger argument than Cowboys play. Who was your favorite player of the game, Rob? Now you're back.
I'm gonna have to go with Michael Gallup. He had his ball. He balled out. 2 touchdowns. I think he didn't have maybe 1 drop, but I thought he was the most point player besides Andy Dalton. I mean, nobody really looked bad, but I thought, you know, I thought he looked the best overall.
Mm-hmm.
Ben?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know I was just talking a lot of love about Gregory, and if we were going for the year, I'd be pointing towards Gregory, but for the game, I've got to stand up with this one. I think Gallup, and it's nice to say that Gallup's had a great game this season, and he just fantastic, and he loved it. He was enjoying it. Gallup. Oh, I'm joining Rob on this one.
I kind of agree. I want to say, you know, Gregory, because he changed the defense, which basically stopped Philadelphia playing. But we had to turn around that 14-3, so it's a tale of two halves, and. We had to turn around that 14-3, and the only way we could do that was to score points. And Gallup allowed us to score points when no one else was doing. Fair play, he had that Marquette. That's going to annoy me. What was his name? Yeah, Jacquette. Jacquette, yeah. The undrafted rookie. They just kept targeting. And fair enough, we had him for a bit. And yeah, he turned the scoring round, but Gregory also turned the, stopped them scoring. So I tell you what, if you two go Gallup, I'll go Gregory. I know he listens to the show. So there you go, Gregory.
I think they both do. So shout out, boys.
Yeah.
I mean, both are worthy of it. But yeah, I think it's nice to give Gallup something this season, because again, he's not been terrible all season, but he's not really had any 10 out of 10 games, and yeah, he was just.
Sean Lee was good too. Sean Lee, I might want to give some. We'll give a sly wink to Sean Lee, just for one. He helped with the run game, so they couldn't. They thought twice about using it all the time. And two, he got everyone motivated.
Yeah.
And three, he did not get injured. He didn't get injured. Wow, knock on wood.
He stubbed his toe on the way out. He's out for another 3 years.
Rob, you had to say it, didn't you? You had to fucking say it. You know what's going to happen in training now? He's going to fart and fucking break his back.
Yeah, Van Der Esch isn't back. We do need him for next week.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, Sean Lee has become the Witten of the team.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see, you know, every team needs a Witten. Every team needs needs an old school skipper who's, you know, always there, loves the team. And when he needs to show up and kick some ass, he can. And Sean Lee has become that guy. And it's nice to see. I'm glad he stepped into it. I hope he doesn't move on. You know, he probably is. His contract's out, but it's nice to see. And I think every team needs a skipper, don't they? Every team needs a skipper.
Every team needs the popcorn to get it ready.
T.O., you can come back.
I also think the offensive line had a great game. I think Fletcher Cox not being there changed things, but certainly the two guards in the center were you know, that you could see that there was no internal pressure. It was all coming from the outside, if anything. But that's our good old friend Knight and Steel, isn't it?
Oh, good old Knight and Steel. Save the day without doing anything.
But, did you guys bring up the fact that Fletcher Cox went out of the game like after the first quarter?
I just did, literally just then.
She just said it.
Yeah, he did. It changed things a lot. He gave Dalton a lot more time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's I mean we normally talk about the O-line a lot, we haven't really, but this time. But the O-line was
You should never I have think, to You should never have to talk about the O-line when you've got a good O-line.
Yeah.
It's only when it fails that you notice it.
Yeah. And I think this covers this season perfectly, because how was the O-line today? At points, great. At other points, weak. And that's basically been our season. So, yeah, there we fucking are. Right, lads,
Before we transition, I just have one more point to bring up. We mentioned it last week, and I saw a stat. So I know he listens to the show, so I want to bring it up. So the Pro Bowl this year, we have no Cowboys players at all, okay?
Yep, none.
The two tight ends that are playing for the NFC, TJ Hockenson, who's had a great season in Detroit. In fact, he's helped my fantasy team. And the other is Evan Engram. Okay? Those are the two tight ends that have been selected for the Pro Bowl. Evan Engram has, this season, had 61 receptions for 637 yards and a touchdown. Right? 61, 637, one touchdown. Blake Jarwin has had 59 receptions for 684 yards and 6 touchdowns. More yards, a lot more touchdowns. Schultz, right? Not even... Schultz, yeah.
I was saying, if Jarwin did that in one game, he fucking smashed it.
Sorry, yeah, Schultz. And you just think how come he's not been... How come it wasn't even thought of? Evan Engram, just because he's in New York, straight to the Pro Bowl, don't even think of Dalton Schultz.
I'll tell you what, and I would have said this 5 games ago, but when we get to the end of the season and we look back on it and we talk about, you know, the players, for the best new player to come, fuck CeeDee Lamb, Schultzy. Schultzy has been... And I've said it before the season, and I'm going to say it again, Schultz has been our most consistent player of the season by a country fucking mile.
He was amazing at blocking. He was amazing at 100%. Blocking in the game last night. There was one, I can't remember the play. I remember when it happened, and I thought, that's Schultz's block that's actually created that. I think it must have been a touchdown, and I wanted to mention it on this podcast when it happened, but I can't remember when it happened.
Yeah. Now when Blake Jarwin comes back, we got two solid tight ends.
Yep.
I think I like our options with that.
Yeah, two solid tight ends and more wide receivers than you can shake a stick at. Like, back with Dak, as long as we, you know, as long as that O-line comes back next year, all we've got to do is fix a couple holes in the defense and, you know, touch wood, we're looking good, but we say this every year, and every year we have similar conversations. So
yeah.
There we go. Oh, Cowboys, we love you. right, let's move on to the next game. So for anybody who's been hiding under a rock, we will be playing the New York Giants and the Eagles, who now cannot win the division. They're the only team who cannot currently win the division, will be playing the Washington football team. If the Washington football team win, then no matter what happens, they have won the division. But if the Washington football lose, it all comes down to our game, and whether we or the Giants win will be the winner of the division, which is great.
If Philly ties, I think it's if we tie and Philly ties, we win because we have one more win or something goofy like that. So there is a second scenario if you want to look that up, Bill.
I'm not sure about that because there should be one game ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that because if they tie and we win.
Hang on, let me give you the official. Washington is, yeah, he's right. Washington is 6-9. We're 6-9. So if they do tie, in the very, very unlikely event of a tie, but we could also tie and they could lose. But then the Giants. Yeah.
That's correct. That's 2020 style. And, that's what's going to happen.
And then we would, yeah, that's probably true. At 2020 style, we'll accidentally get a tie by missing a field goal because by bouncing it off both posts before coming out.
Yeah. I see it happening. Right. Well, oh, 2020, we hate you. Right. Well, I mean, let's not go into too much detail, but Giants, I'm assuming we all think we should be winning that, right?
Yeah. We should.
I agree 100%.
They've got nothing but downhill. They have a decent defense-ish, but they're, again, like the Eagles, the decent front line, dodgy back end. We shine with the back end because we know that we haven't got time in the front.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, we should be beating them by 2 score, I think.
Don't ever say that. You know when we're confident, it always goes wrong.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, we should.
You know what? I'm going to say it like I've said it before. We're going to win. I think I said we're going to. I was wrong last week. I thought we were going to win by 7 or 3 points. But I think this game, because it's going to be neck and neck, and Jerry loves this happy ending and wants everybody to be in detail and everything else with the NFL, and Roger Goodell loves the New York Giants, I think it's going to be a 3-point game. And I think we win.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go tighter. We win by a safety.
I love it.
Yeah, we win by a safety.
All right, I tell you what. Well, I'm going to go even better. We win by a safety by Donovan Wilson catching an interception and returning it with 1 second left to score the winning touchdown.
Yes.
That's winning by a safety.
Oh God!
Fuck it! Let's go! Let's get crazy! Terrible onside kick by Giants. CeeDee Lamb scores a touchdown. Game over.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to leave it at. We need to beat them.
We need to win.
We can beat them. Yeah. We should beat them.
I'm just not convinced about the Eagles.
Even if we don't get through to the playoffs, we never thought we were getting through to the playoffs. The fact that we find ourselves here is just hilarious.
Yes.
As long as we beat the Giants, I'm happy because we've got to win the game. There's no point tanking now. There's just no point.
No point. It's not going to do us anything.
Yeah. What's the point? We've got to win it. Let's win it. What will be, will be. But if we win it, I'm fucking happy. And as far as the other game, I mean, Eagles, we hope you play like you can play and you don't just tank it because you hate us, but we also fully expect you to do that.
I was thinking about this watching the game. I don't think they will, simply because Jalen Hurts is putting footage down. He's got to prove himself that he can carry a team, so he's got to try to win.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, fuck this. I'm going to let Carson Wentz come back and take my starting spot. So no, he's going to fight for everything
he
gets.
Yeah, he's got to.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, you're right. He has got to. And
to be fair, it doesn't matter. They're not going to end up... So long as they're above us, they're happy. And they're going to be above us now in the draft. Which means any corner that we want, they'll get.
Yeah.
Right. Just like they did Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, but we'll all be going for corners in this one.
Yeah.
They'll be defensive back at frenzy.
I've got to say, and I've said it before this season. I really like Dallas Goedert. Fuck the Eagles.
He didn't do
but
it.
I really like
he didn't
him.
Do it that this last night.
No. I'm not talking about him on the pitch, but generally, like he's been struggling. But he's been, mate. It's his first season in. He's been dealing with some terrible situations, bad quarterbacks.
Let's not make excuses for the Eagles. We only make excuses for the Cowboys. We don't make excuses for the Eagles.
Sorry. But
the excuses
I like
are bad because the Eagles are bad because they are shit. The Cowboys are bad because of a myriad of reasons.
The Eagles are shit because Carson Wentz is going around farting everybody's mouth.
You've gone on about this before. You've got this thing about Carson Wentz farting in people's mouths. Is this just a Rob fixation, or is there a new story that I've missed?
No, I just think it's funny.
It's a very niche part of the internet you go into, Ray Rob.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
It's a dark web. Carson Wentz scat videos. I mean, it started with him doing it to Foles, and now Hurts is doing it to him. That's where we're at. Right, ladies and gentlemen, do we have any more points to go on, or shall we tie up for today? And
Bitcoin all time high again, over $28,000. If you were listening to me last year and you bought Bitcoin, you bought it around $5,000, and right now, if you bought one, you're looking at a $23,000 profit. You're welcome.
Just so you know, Rob, at any point that it goes up 0.00001 cent, it is Bitcoin is at an all-time high. Every time it goes up by that smaller margin, it's still an all-time high.
Well, that's right. But so, I mean, this doesn't need
announcing every week.
$4,000 since last week.
Yeah. Oh, I should have bought some Bitcoin, but there you go. You live and you learn. You cry and you skin. Right. As always, guys, thanks for listening to us. I've been Ben, Rob's been Rob, and Bill's been Bill. Next week, we will be here. There will be lots to talk about. We will either be commiserating over a season that finished how we thought it would, or somehow jumping up in joy, shouting, "How about them Cowboys?" and forgetting for a fact that we have had a terrible year and talking about winning the Super Bowl.
Just so you know,
it will be one of two podcasts.
When they do tune in next week, just remember that if we've won our division, we told you so here, right? Yeah. It was going to happen.
That's right.
Can I also say that if we don't win our division, we told you so here.
Yeah.
Well, either way, we told you so.
Yeah, whatever happens, we told you that.
We already knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
We'd told you that they weren't going to win, they were going to win. And so it was us. It was entirely us. We called it. Long time back.
Also,
and everybody else, you guys all have a happy new year. And fuck 2020 and fuck COVID.
Yeah, you know. Right, pleasure.
And
guys.
Tom Brady. And the Patriots.
Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck the Patriots. Fuck the Buccaneers. Fuck the Eagles, but not this weekend.
And let the Vikings get a win, even because it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. The only Cowboys podcast that throws shade to the Vikings.
All right.
Pleasure as always, guys. Peace out. See you next week.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.